Well, we were looking at a couple of things. First, we were looking at the training program itself in terms of whether or not it has good quality standards, whether or not the State Department has a good system in place to ensure that their security professionals are properly trained. And we, for the most part, we gave the State Department credit for the standards that they apply and that the approach that they take to training. So from that perspective, the State Department seems to be doing a pretty good job. However, we also identified a number of challenges that the Diplomatic Security Bureau was facing that raise a greater concern. And this, you mentioned the Iraq situation, which is one of the issues we identified in our report, talking a little bit about their ability to take over responsibilities that are currently being done by our U.S. military there, who are withdrawing at the end of the year. Concern here is that Diplomatic Security is going to be using a large contractor force to carry out a lot of the security requirements there, and we raise questions regarding whether or not they'll have adequate people there that are trained to oversee these contractors and also conduct their normal security missions. So that's one of the key issues we identified in our report. The other one has to do with increasing mission growth that the department is putting on Diplomatic Security. They're talking about increasing training for other high-threat posts overseas, which could significantly increase the number of people who have to be trained. And right now, the Diplomatic Security Bureau is not prepared to deal with the major growth that the department is potentially calling for. So we're calling for better planning in this area because they don't think they have the resources to do it, at least in the short term.
This is an issue that the Commission on Wartime Contracting in Iraq and Afghanistan has been looking at periodically. They're looking more at the contracting end of it and the interaction between the contracting community and the people who work for the contractors and the State Department, the military, not so much the training element that you looked at. But one of the parts of this report that I thought was particularly interesting, you write, to meet some of its needs in 2007, DSTC, the Diplomatic Security Training Center, developed an interim training facility in 2009, state allocated funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and other acts to develop a consolidated training facility. State is in the process of identifying a suitable location. Are they just not getting around to it? Or
This is a long story. They've been trying for years to develop a consolidated training center. As we note in a report, they're currently using 16 different facilities, which is really inefficient, and a lot of the facilities don't have the adequate capabilities to really do effective training. So the Department is, the state has known about this for years, and they initially proposed developing a consolidated center in Maryland, but that fell through because of community concerns with regard to the kind of things that they would be training on, like firearms training and that type of thing. So they're basically back to the drawing board. They're looking for other potential sites to develop this consolidating trading mechanism. And the money that they got, they basically got seed money from Congress to develop the concepts and to begin the planning and site preparation, but they're not at a point yet where they've even selected the site. So our concern here is even if they finally select one, it's going to take at least 2 or 3 years before it's constructed and up and running. And in the meanwhile, they've got this emerging increase in mission so that the State Department Diplomatic Security Bureau is in some respects caught between a rock and a hard spot in terms of having really good facilities.
Is it fair to assume then that we're not going to be getting off the contractor train here when it comes to security in some of these locations anytime soon?
I would think certainly in the danger places like Iraq and probably Afghanistan, the Department of State is going to have to rely heavily on contractors because the kind of missions that they're being asked to assume are essentially military-type missions like disposal of ordnance, countermeasures to rocket mortar attacks, how to respond to downed aircraft. Those type of missions the military has been handling in Iraq, and now the civilian sector is going to have to deal with it, and I think they're going to have to rely on contractors to carry those things out.
Let's say everything came together, and by the end of 2011, a location's identified and confirmed, and construction on the facility begins. You say it's 2 to 3 years until the thing can be ramped up, and those 16 locations can be consolidated. Once that happens, do we still have the capacity that we need to get the number of people through the system and effectively and appropriately trained? Or will there still, even beyond that, be a contractor element just because we're not quite able to produce the number of people we need?
I think that's an excellent question. At this stage, it's not clear to me that the department has a plan to fully identify all of those requirements that you just mentioned. The resources are going to be needed to carry them out, and the difference between whether or not that function can be carried out by a government employee versus a contractor. I think all those issues are still under review. We haven't seen any kind of comprehensive plan that lays out a scheme on how they're going to carry this out. So I think the whole issue is still up in the air. I think there's some uncertainty about whether they're going to be able to do it or not.
Because when you say seed money from Congress, that sounds to me like they just are getting enough to get started and not necessarily to finish it up. Is that an unfair assumption on my part?
Well, to be fair to the department, since they haven't selected the site yet, they can't really come up with a really good cost estimate of what it's going to cost to build it. What they have told us is that the amount that's been appropriated so far, I believe it's around $138 million, is not going to be sufficient probably to pay for the entire construction and the operational costs of the facility. So we don't know what the cost of that facility may be, largely, again, because they haven't yet selected a site. And until that happens, they're not going to have any really good estimates.